Hello, this is Pastor Patrick Hines here in Kingsport, Tennessee, and I wanted to do a reaction video. Someone sent me a satire video that is just really, really good, and it's 8 minutes and 21 seconds long, and so I don't want to make this video any longer than it needs to be, but this is just gold. This is so good, so I just want to do this, and let me pull this up here, make sure this is done correctly, get this, and then do this. So this is satire, so just remember, satire. And this is a first century Christian talking to your average 2021 Christian. So if a first century Christian had a conversation with your average 2021 Christian.
Hey, wow, cute scarf. So how's it going? Well, it's kind of tough. Could die any day if they catch us. This current emperor is really against us. I heard he's actually lighting Christians on fire as torches to light his gardens. Oh.
Yeah, that's Nero did that. He actually used that to mock the Christians, saying that they are the light of the world. And so Nero would capture Christian people and coat them in pitch and tie them up and light them on fire to light his garden parties. And he would go around in his carriage and say, "Behold, the light of the world."
Oh, that is so rude. It's been a few days since I ate. The Roman Empire just doesn't get us. Oh, what is wrong with these people? They think we're atheists because we don't worship a pantheon of gods like they do, which is a huge no-no.
They also thought that Christians were atheists because they didn't use icons and statues and idols either. They had imageless worship. And that was just unknown at the time. Roman religion worshipped statues, idols, pictures, and junk like that. But Christians didn't. They didn't have images and icons and pictures and things like that. That's a bit of a problem for Rome and the East, who tried to say, "No, Christians have always had, you know, pictures and icons and statues and everything." They were called atheists. They were called atheists because they didn't have images and pictures and statues and things that they worshipped.
In this political climate.
In fact, remember the martyrdom of Polycarp? What was one of the things that the Roman proconsul said to him? He said to Polycarp, the Christian man, "Say away with the atheists," meaning away with the Christians, because Christians were known as atheists because they didn't have statues and they didn't, and they also did not worship Rome's gods.
I haven't bathed in a while. The water's really dirty, so you can't drink it, or you'll get sick and die a horrendous death. Oh, but the other day we rescued some babies from the garbage dump where they were left to die. So, you know, it's great that we were able to rescue them, but more mouths to feed now. So.
Yeah, that's a well-known, well-documented fact that Christians, not just from the beginning, but really in every century, have always been the spokespersons for the discarded people of the world and for babies like that. Babies in ancient Rome like that, if they were the wrong gender or they had something wrong with them, they would just throw them in the dumpster. Think about that. I mean, they really weren't all that different from what we do. We just abort them before they're born and then throw them in a dumpster. So Christians don't have an opportunity to go dumpster diving to get babies out of them, which we would do if we could. But back then, it was also illegal to do that. They would throw babies in dumpsters that weren't wanted. They would also expose them in fields, and they'd be killed by wild animals and things like that. Christians would hide, and then when the people were gone who left the babies there, they would go and get them and take care of them. Because human beings are made in the image of God, and every human life is precious to God.
So, lots of persecution, but God is good. Our Lord is worth it. How about you? How is it going? Wow. That sounds terrible. Ugh, and I know exactly what you mean by persecution. You should see what online persecution is like. It's the worst. The other day, I posted a Bible verse and an atheist, like, totally made fun of me. It, like, really got to me. And it really ruined my day. But I'm persevering. And as for...
Yeah, we don't know what persecution is yet. It's ramping up a little bit in this country, but it's nothing like it was for those Christians that, starting with the Emperor Nero, for ten successive Roman emperors, locally would do localized persecutions until you get to, I think it's Diocletian in the mid-third century, you get an empire-wide persecution. It's horrendous stuff. It's horrifying stuff. Now, people today are getting nastier and nastier, and people are threatening violence, and that certainly escalates the issue a little bit. I've had violence threatened against me and my family by the wonderful, loving, sweet, tolerant LGBT community, as if there is such a thing. There's no such thing as that. But individuals who are given over to that kind of perverted filth have threatened violence against me and my family. Is that really persecution? No, I don't really look at it that way. And we shouldn't look at it that way. It's certainly something that bothers us. But yeah, being made fun of is certainly nothing compared to what those early Christians dealt with.
Me? How I'm doing? Well, let me tell you, I am declaring blessing, victory, and prosperity. Hallelujah. You should, like, move or something. I'm not sure why you stay in a place that really doesn't appreciate the power of the gospel. I don't get that. Just leave. You poor thing. You just need to speak the power over them, sister. If you want to change the direction of your life, just change the declaration of your lips. I can teach you. I mean, maybe. I think I should just start with not dying first. Oh, wow. Oh, no. You should not speak like that. Here, watch. Hold on. Okay, here's some of day 26. From Joel Olstein's online declarations. Joel, I know you're excited, but hold on, okay. Repeat after me. Repeat everything I'm going to say, because there's power in your words. Online, what is this line of on? Is this on a line somewhere? Should I be? I declare that my mind is set on what God says about me. I know His plan for me. Hey, it's okay. Repeat after me. His plan for me. Yes. Good. See? Okay. His plan for me is success. Happiness. And abundance. Very good. This is my declaration. Very good. I knew you could do it. See, we create life and death with our words. So speak life, not death. It's in the Bible or something. Bible? Oh, yes, that's right. We have all the scriptures. We're able to read everything, even the very words of Jesus. You can read too? I can only dream of such a thing. I bet you read it every day and you pore over every word, studying and memorizing. I bet it must be so nice to have something so precious with you all the time.
This is convicting, isn't it? You think about, like, I'm back on my shelf back there. I've got Court and Barbara Allen's The Text of the New Testament and Metzger's The Text of the New Testament. It's Corruption and Restoration. And there's photostats of papyrus and all kinds of ancient, very, 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 very old manuscripts of various books of the New Testament. And one of the things that you see in those photostats is that most of them, it looks like, were not copied by professional scribes, people whose handwriting was pretty bad. So what you're actually looking at is a Christian, just like this woman there in the first century or even in the second century, they would hear about, well, this church has three copies of different letters that Paul wrote to different churches, and they would want copies for themselves, so they'd go and make one. They would write it down themselves. They'd use abbreviations and stuff that sometimes they'd spell things wrong. But they wanted the scriptures, the New Testament books that had just been written and were starting to circulate all over the place. But you can see in the pictures of the manuscripts that a lot of these folks were not professional writers, and they made sloppy copies of New Testament books because they wanted them so badly. And so it's hard for us to imagine, I mean, being surrounded with electronic Bibles and being surrounded with real Bibles and great English translations, it's hard to imagine someone who desperately just wanted to see a copy of just one book of the New Testament.
I bet you've read it all, the whole thing, like dozens of times. I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, when I have time. I mean, I'm really super into my current Netflix binge what is this flicking a net? Why would you flick a net?
But I do try and carve out a few minutes each day for my quiet time. I'm just so busy and there's just so much going on. I mean, with the kids' soccer practice and my book club. Oh, and my favorite, Wind Down Wednesday. It's so good with some brie cheese. You should try it. It's good.
So let me get this straight. You not only have abundant food and safety, but you have the very letters and writings that I will probably never get to touch, see, or read in my lifetime that have the very words of our Lord on it. And you don't even read it? If we're caught with anything like that, we can be murdered or arrested.
That's right. I volunteer and make a lot of casseroles.
It helps.
Yeah. Oh no, an ad.
There's no place like it.
I like CuriosityStream. What is going on?
Follow me, Nick Offerman, as I take you on a journey.
What? Grief. Come on. Okay.
I mean, I mostly let my celebrity pastor read it and tell me things about it.
A slob?
No, close. I mean, I could see how you could make that mistake. No, it's celebrity. It means he's super important and famous and stuff. I mean, theology and reading just really gets in the way of my personal relationship with Jesus, you know? I mean, plus he has super nice shoes, too. I mean, a lot of people know about him and are encouraged by his message about how Jesus can improve your life. I mean, it's in the Bible or something.
You mean like Paul? Like fearlessly preaching the gospel of salvation, living modestly and enduring persecution, all the while being content in the strength of Jesus? Hey, I have that scripture on my wall, but no, not exactly. I mean, of course, he talks about Jesus and the gospel and stuff, but it's important we explain that Jesus came to bring joy and happiness to everyone. He mostly preaches about how the Bible can help our lives and stuff. I mean, no amount of therapy or wine can give me the serotonin fix that going to a good hyped-up sermon can. I mean, like, if you're needing to be motivated, fired up, or have some sort of deep emotional need, he's definitely the loudest person in the room to yell that at you. Yeah.
What kind of stuff does this famous man say about our Lord?
Well, basically the gospel that Jesus loves us and wants us to be happy no matter what, and that you can be victorious over suffering and sickness and stuff.
That's horrible.
Or something. So, hold on. In 2,000 years, we escape persecution. Christianity is legal. It advances many areas of science, philosophy, art, religion, education, morality. You have all the scriptures in countless languages that you don't even study or read, have more information than any other era in human history with this line of on you speak of that I still can't find, and this is where we are right now. Aren't you proud of us? I mean, isn't it wonderful? And the best part is that my church service is only like 47 minutes long, which really helps beat the Sunday lunch rush at my favorite restaurant. Nice. By the way, do you happen to know your Enneagram number?
Oh, we
seem totally compatible. What's wrong with you people? I never thought I'd say this, but I think I have the better deal. I'm going to go now.
Wow.
A 7? 8?
Just means more wine for me.
Wow. Okay, what can I say? That's terrifying. That's horrible. Yep, you know, as I sit in this room, you know, I'm surrounded by some of the greatest theological treatises ever written in the history of Christianity. by men who devoted their lives to the study of the Word of God day in and day out, and the study of the progress of Christian doctrine and the history of false teachings, and understood how to refute those things. And we have so much at our disposal, and electronic entertainment has all but destroyed us and just made us a bunch of buffoons and gullible people. We need to return to the Word of God. We need to be Bible readers. We need to pore over its pages. We need to learn from all these books and all this stuff. To whom much is given, much will be expected. And we should ask ourselves, is God getting a whole lot of a return from us in what he's invested in us? It's a very serious thing to have access to the greatest literature in all of history in terms of theology, and not to avail yourself of it, and not to learn from the great teachers that Christ has given to his church in the past, and to have Bibles aplenty, and not read them, and not be transformed by them. Anyway, convicting stuff. I'm awfully thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his forgiveness and mercy. And although we can't have a perfect church, we can have a better one. And we need to work to that end. So that was convicting. That was funny and sad at the same time. But as a sage philosopher once said, the essence of comedy is tragedy. I mean, a guy walks and slips on a banana peel and falls down, and what does everybody do? Laugh. Why? Well, he fell. He could have gotten hurt. Why do we think that's funny? Here you have satire. It is hard not to laugh at some of that, because it's an accurate portrayal of how different Christians were long ago in difficult circumstances, and the way the soft underbellies that we all have now. So let's remember the truth, love the truth, and pray that God would revive our hearts and make us love the truth more than we do.